Right. Before we get into the message this morning, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and the teaching of your holy word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts through the work of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that everybody here today and everybody watching by way of the internet would receive something that would be of great blessing, great benefit, and great help in their walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 14. But we're not going to be looking at the whole chapter because we've already covered verses 1 through 12. If you were here or watched on YouTube, my sermon on Matthew chapter 11, you'll remember that it stated that John the Baptist was in prison. And to find out why he was in prison, we jumped ahead to chapter 14, where it tells us that King Herod had put him in prison because of the fact that John preached against Herod's adultery. And Herod did not like it. And we also looked at John's death in this chapter. And how the reason God allowed that to happen was because John's job was done. God had placed him on this earth for a specific purpose, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And he did his job well. He faithfully preached to the people that the Messiah had come and was going to establish his kingdom, and they needed to repent of their sin, put their faith in that Savior, and be ready. And John did his job well. As a matter of fact, Jesus commended him for the job he had done by telling us that no man had ever lived on earth who was greater than John the Baptist. But now, his job was done. His purpose in life had been fulfilled. And so God took him home. Now, let's pick up the narrative here in verse 13. We read, "When Jesus heard of it," that is the death of John, "he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. And send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed." And by the way, that's where we get our tradition of praying before our meals and asking God's blessing and thanking him for the food we're receiving. So he, looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Think about this. 5 loaves. Now, when we say loaves, understand, it's not talking about what we think of a loaf of bread, right? Nobody's going to send their kids lunch 5 big loaves of bread, right? It's talking about 5 little biscuits, 5 little crackers that would have been about this size in that little boy's lunch. That's about the extent of his lunch. Five little crackers and two small fish. We're talking about two little sardines, about that big. Five little crackers, two little sardines. And Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women. That means if each of those men brought their wives with them, that's 10,000 people. But it also says he fed the children. If each one of those couples brought just one child with them, that's 15,000. But you know, Jewish families were not known for being small. And so if they brought two, that's 20,000. Three, that's 25,000. Four, that's 30,000. Five, that's 35,000. And it goes on and on. Think about it. Five little crackers and two small fish about that big. And he fed all of those people with it. And then on top of it, when it was done, 12 baskets full left over. That's enough to go all the way across this platform. 12 baskets, one for each of the apostles. That's not only an amazing story, that's an amazing miracle that Jesus performed that day. Now, let's continue on here. Verse 22. And straightway, Jesus commanded his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." That is, this is a ghost. This is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "What, are you crazy? You actually believe in ghosts? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." There's big mouth Peter, you know, impetuous Peter speaking up as he's often noted to do. And when he said, "Come," and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. You see, old Peter had put his foot in his mouth once again, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And I love those three words. We're going to come back and talk about those three words in just a moment. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, I also like verse 33 here. It's a great verse because it is without any doubt the best verse in the Bible, in the Gospels, to explain or to describe the purpose of Jesus doing miracles and healings and signs and wonders, right? It was to get, first of all, them to come to him. You'll notice it says that they were in the ship came. The purpose of miracles was to get people to come to him. And then it was also to get them to worship him, right? Because he is God in the flesh. He deserves to be worshiped. And then it was for the purpose of helping them to understand who he really was. "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Those are the main purposes for Jesus doing all the different miracles that he did. Now let's continue in the chapter. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. That means that the sea they were crossing in the ship was the Sea of Galilee, because Gennesaret is on the shore of Galilee. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, They sent out unto all of that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as were as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon this morning, I want you to get this. Do not miss it. Jesus can meet every need you have. And he loves you enough to do so. Notice it says in verse 14 that he had compassion on them. And he has compassion today for you and I as well. He loves you more than anybody else ever could or would love you. In Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. A love that sent him into this world to be our Savior. There's a gospel song that says this, he came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. And so that's why he came. That debt was sin. And he paid the full price through his death and resurrection so that we could be set free from that debt. And as Kirsty sang this morning, that was love at its greatest and highest point. And because of his love for us, he is willing to meet our needs. Think about it. He can meet our physical needs. He could heal sick people back then, and he can heal sick people today. Sometimes he does it miraculously. Other times through doctors and medicine. But ultimately, he is the healer of all diseases. And you know what? Even if he allows a believer to die from a sickness, what's on the other side of that? Perfect health. Perfect health. On Friday this week here at school during gym class, I was in the office when two little girls came in who had fallen out in gym class outside and skinned their knee up a little bit. There were some tears, and you know, I watched our office manager, Mrs. Selwar, wipe away the tears and put some Band-Aids on the boo-boos. And as I was talking with the little girls, I said, think about this. I said, in heaven, there won't be any Band-Aids. There won't be no need for Band-Aids anymore because they'll never be hurt again. Band-Aids going out of business. And not only that, but so is Kleenex. Because we're never going to have to blow our nose again because we're never going to get a cold. And we're never going to have to use them to wipe tears from our eyes because there won't be anything to make us sad anymore. Right? Kleenex is going out of business. See, perfect health is the ultimate condition that we will experience and we'll have it for all eternity. And it's all because of Jesus. He is able to meet our physical needs because he is the great physician. The great physician. He's also able to meet our material needs. What about this story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus men and women? There was a need for material sustenance that could not possibly be met. If you read John's account of this, you find out that the apostles took those five little biscuits and those two little fish and brought them to Jesus, and they said, here they are, Lord. But their response was, what are these among so many? How are we going to feed all of this multitude of people with just this tiny little bit of food. There was no way 2 sardines and 5 crackers were going to meet the need. But you add Jesus to the equation, and it's different. Because there is nothing impossible with him. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He's the answer. He's the one who can provide for us. Everybody here have a roof over their head and a bed to sleep in and clothes to wear and food to eat? Sure we do. God provides for our needs. Where do you think all of those things came from that you got? Now, I have talked to people in the past about this who've said to me, well, I worked for all of that. Well, yeah, well, who gave you the health and the strength and the ability to work for all of that? See, ultimately, Jesus is able to meet every need. And we see example after example of that in the Bible. One of my favorites is the children of Israel. They've come out of that Egyptian bondage. They've crossed the Red Sea miraculously, and now they're in the wilderness. Now, you have to understand that when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was not a little small handful of people. That was a whole nation. There were millions of them that came out with him. Millions. And for 40 years, God fed those millions of people every single day. They would wake up and the manna would be there waiting for them. They had bread ready for them when they woke up in the morning. And then God provided quail for them to eat, all the quail that they wanted. He provided for their material needs. You know what manna and quail are? They're the Old Testament equivalent of chicken and dumplings. That's what it is. God provided for their needs. The Lord is able to meet our material needs. He is also able to meet our emotional needs. The Bible teaches us here that he calmed the storm. Ever been through a storm in your life? You know, there are more types of storms in life than just rain and snow and wind. Life can throw at us a lot of trials and tribulations and troubles. It can put us in situations where we don't know what to do and we feel anxious and nervous and worried and scared and fearful. Or we can be in situations where we feel sad and sorrowful. But during those times, Jesus is the answer. We're to cast all our cares and all our burdens upon him. He wants us to. He invites us to do it. In Psalm 55:22, we read, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." 1 Peter 5:7 talks of casting all your care upon him, for he careth you. That's what we need to do. That's what the disciples did. In verse 26 here, it says, they cried out in fear. And what was Jesus' response in verse 27, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He had it all under control. When you feel afraid or don't know what to do, call out to Jesus. He makes you some great promises about that. I love Jeremiah 33:3. When I was a kid growing up in church, my pastor called that God's phone number. God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You don't know what to do? God will show you what to do. call out to Jesus. David said in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Why? Because the Lord can meet our emotional needs. How about this? He can also meet what we'll call our directional needs. You need some direction? You need some guidance in your life? Ask the Lord for that guidance. Think about this story here with the disciples in the ship. That ship had no direction, right? It was in the middle of a storm. It was going every which way. Until Jesus got in the boat. He calmed that storm. Pointed them in the right direction. And we read here, let's see, beginning about verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came, worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And notice this, and when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. They made it safely where they needed to go. Jesus had calmed the storm, pointed them in the right direction, and got them where they needed to go. And he can do the same in your life as well. If you need direction, you need guidance, he can get you going in the right direction. You got some big decision you need to make. You don't know what to do. You don't know what the right answer, the wrong answer. You just are unsure. Well, talk to the Lord about it. Bring it to him. Ask him to give you the wisdom you need to make the right decision. He tells you that he will. In James 1:5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which given to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He can give you the wisdom you need to make right directions. He can give you guidance and direction in your life. He is able to meet your directional need. And then how about this? He is able to meet your spiritual need. When Peter sank, he cried out, Lord, save me. And what happened? Jesus reached out his hand and saved him. Of course, in this case, from the water. But this picture goes way beyond that. Because there was a time when you and I were sinking. We were sinking deep in sin. We were headed for eternal destruction with no hope, no ray of light, no possible way of saving ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it says this, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? The answer is nobody can say that, because you cannot make your own heart clean. You just can't. And of course, we were all in that condition at one point, right? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you have called out to Jesus to save you, to come into your heart, to be your Savior and Lord, then that has all changed. He has met your spiritual need. He has forgiven your sin and delivered you from hell and given you eternal life and the promise of a home in heaven. He's made you part of his family. He's put your feet on a solid rock, and you are no longer sinking in sin. You are sailing for heaven. Hallelujah. He has met your spiritual need. And let me say, if you have never called out to Jesus for salvation, he is offering it to you right now. He's offering to lift you up out of the quicksand of sin and clean you up and change your life, give you a new life, and make you a child of God. And all you have to do is ask him for it. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith, you need to reach out and touch Jesus. Like they did here in verse 36, he says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. If you have a physical need, you need to reach out and touch Jesus. If you have a material need, you need to reach out and touch Jesus. If you have an emotional need, you need to reach out and touch Jesus. If you have a directional need, you need to reach out and touch Jesus. And if you have a spiritual need, you need to reach out and touch Jesus, because he is the answer. Amen and amen. Now you'll notice, as I've been preaching here, verse 36 says, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now that's a very general statement. But before we close, I want us to look at an actual person who did touch him. So turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. That is, there were so many people around him, they kind of pushed her away, but she kept pressing forward, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be thou whole of thy plague. All it took was a touch, and her life was changed. But it wasn't just the touch. That touch was combined with faith. Jesus said that it was her faith that made all the difference. Now today, we don't have the ability to touch Jesus physically, but we can still touch him by faith. We can still touch him by faith, by putting all our hope and trust in him. And that's my challenge to you today. If you're a Christian, and maybe you've got something troublesome or fearful going on in your life, or maybe you have a physical need, or a material need, or a directional need, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come boldly, that is confidently, to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And if you're not saved, You can't remember a time when you reached out to Jesus and asked him to come in to be your Savior and Lord, to set you free from the burden and penalty of sin, to give you eternal life. Well, again, my challenge to you is call out to him today. Don't wait another minute. The answer to your need is by faith, touch Jesus.